Well, we desire your prayer. Need the help of the Lord. I want to talk on another very serious subject tonight. And this is going to take a little while, but I'm not going to preach it all right now. I'm going to preach what the Lord gives me tonight, and then we'll go from there. I want to start Luke 22. And I'll write on here what my subject is. The will of God. The Lord gave me this sometime back. And this is one of the most important subjects. And I want to start talking by talking about Jesus. That's where I didn't know exactly where I was going to start at. And so I went down and I said, Lord, where do you want this to be? This is your congregation. This is your people. One of my main things, Brother Larry, down through the years, is I want the burden for that congregation. That body is his body, and I want it for that body. I may preach a message over here and there, and I do. But the bottom line is the Lord knows exactly what's needed for that group of people at that time. And so consequently, I gear for that by the help of the Lord. 22 and 39 of the good book of Luke, this is just a starting place. It said, and he came out, and went as he wont to Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now Jesus when he come here, he didn't come to do his own thing. He come to work hand in hand with the Father. He come to work the will of God, the plan of God, the things that they had set before the foundation of the world. Christ come to fulfill all of that whole deal. He didn't have so much time to do it in. So consequently, to accomplish the max that he had to do in that short of time had to take a total cooperation between him and the Father. Working. He prayed all night sometimes. You'd find him up on the mountain praying. He was doing this and doing that. He was seeking God. He was talking to the Father. He was working with the Father. And now then it comes down, and I'm going to deal with this more earnestly later in Matthew, but the bottom line was he come down, and here he could stop the whole thing. He could direct everything. And that does happen at times. There's people that get down at the end and they mess everything up right at the end of the program. But the bottom line here, Christ did not, because even though the agony, the pain, and the suffering that he was suffering in this place in the garden, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want your will, Father, above all that. No matter how much it's going to hurt, there's a plan, there's a set place that you and I have got that's going to do something for mankind that's never been before in the time of the world. And consequently, I want to fulfill that and take it right on through to the end. He looked it over. He looked in that cup, but he didn't quit. You and I need to look in the cup, but we need to hold on. We need to keep going. No matter how serious it is, we want to do what God would have us to do. Let's go to Daniel, the fourth chapter, please. Daniel 4 and about 34. We're going to read here about a man At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, brightness returned unto me. My counselors, my lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. This man was a proud and lifted up man. God brought him down as low as a man can be brought. He learned his lesson. He's looking here unto God. He's looking at what has happened. And he says there, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and I honored him that liveth forever. Nebuchadnezzar got the message. It was a hard lesson. It was a hard message, but he learned out of that. Listen, folks, today, there's people that are not learning the message. They're not understanding. They're not getting hold of what God is trying to do to them. I know of a situation that happened where a person was in a bad car wreck. It was so bad that at times she flat was laid out on her back. She could not do anything but lay there for hours at a time in a body cast. And I thought, Lord, Lord, help this person. They've walked off from the saints. They're doing their own thing. I said, Lord, help her. And I prayed that away for months. And finally one day in prayer, it dawned on me something I'd never thought about before. I thought, Lord, you've got this person as low. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, the only place she can look is straight up. She can look up to God in heaven, but she wasn't getting the call. Nebuchadnezzar got the call again. Listen, folks, today, you and I, when we get the call, we've got to respond. She was not getting a call. In other words, she was laid out. And the bottom line was, she wasn't evidently seeking. She was evidently easing where she was at and what she was doing. And she wasn't doing the things she needed to do. She needed to be seeking God with her whole heart. And God was allowing her there, trying to get her to come back. But he really wasn't giving her a call. He was waiting on her. She's the one walked away. She's the one left. We put ourselves in a very bad predicament when we walk away from God. And when God begins to work in ways that should get us opened up. And I talked to a family member. And they said, Brother Carl, I don't know if you could go to see him or not. Said, there's a certain person that's kin to wife and I. And they said, they're able to do what they do because they're taking food in. Well, I didn't buy all mine. I mean, I could get some Kentucky Fried Chicken and stuff and take in there, but I couldn't do what this person doing. She's an old-time cook, so to speak. And she could bring in better stuff than I could bring in. But this person's there. I'm thankful today that Nebuchadnezzar looked and saw, understood. He got the message, so to speak, and he was able to do what he'd done. And then he said, and all the inhabitants of earth, of the earth, are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. He doeth his will. God's will is going to be done. Now you would think it wouldn't be nothing in heaven. But do you know that we have our own personal bodyguards? Our own personal secret service? We have angels that are sent by God to take care of you and I. Day in and day out. They're there to minister and to work for us and to help us, to protect us and do things for us. I was in Washington, D.C. one time. I don't remember what president it was that was in office that time. But the president was leaving town, I understand. And there was a big to-do. All the sirens and everything. You knew something was going on because they were making all kind of racket. Well, these angels don't make much racket, so to speak. But I got news for you. I'd rather have them than all the Secret Service taking care of the president. All the presidents and wives and so forth. I would not want to be where I'm at without my secret service, so to speak. My angels, the people in heaven, those, the angels, They're going to do the will of God. And it said, and among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? The will of God's going to be done. He's going to take care of his people. He is going to do what needs to be done for you and I. He is wanting for you and I to do the will of God. He's wanting to help you and I to do the will of God. It said over there one place, it said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he said, and he taketh pleasure in him. The Lord is ordered our way. He's doing it by his will. He's doing it with the angel. He's doing it by his power. He's doing things to help you and I day in and day out. We don't even know all the things he's doing. And here God is controlling the whole show. Isn't that wonderful? He's working and controlling according to his will. Now then, God's will, we want to be linked up and hooked up to and do that will. And that's what my burden is for you and I, to learn how to do the will of God and to work with the will of God. All right. It said here, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselor, my Lord, and so forth. But it said, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Lord, help us tonight to thank him, to praise him, to honor him, and respect him for all he's done for you and I down through life. Do it every day. Say, Lord, I love you. I thank you for everything you've done every day in my life. I wasn't saved till I was 18. Most of my life has been under living for God. But the bottom line was, Brother Curtis Williams one time made a statement. He said he had his hand on you before you were born, child. Where you was born, he didn't call me a child, a young man. And the bottom line was, I was adopted. He actually helped get me to adopt into a people that knew the saints of God, had family among the saints. It was easy for me to metamorphose, so to speak, right into the church of God. Now I had to be born again. Don't get me wrong there. I had to be saved. But there was a longing, a working already there for me. And Brother Williams said, the Lord done that. I got to thinking about what he said, and I thought, yeah. But what about you? What has he done for you and I? What has he done to help you? By his will, see? He's working his will in our lives, and sometimes we don't know all about it, but he's still working. And nobody can stop him. Nobody can control him. Nobody can stop the things that he's trying to do, because he has all power in heaven and earth to do whatever needs to be done. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. I've shed tears over this message this afternoon. I have been so blessed in my soul with some of these scriptures. 6 and 35 of the good book of John. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Jesus had a lot to accomplish in a short time. And he set out to do it. The Father working with him, and the Father giving him things. But this plan opened it up to everybody. It was not exclusively the Jews anymore. This was being opened up to you and I. This plan was going to open to every person that would seek, respond, and work with the power and the will of God. Jesus was working it and opening it all up with the plan of God. And he said here, and all that the Father giveth me, 37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen today, the Lord, when we begin to seek him, Brother Sammons told a story that he was up in South Dakota in a tent meeting up there. At 10 days, he preached 3 services a day for 10 days, and it was a camp meeting up there, big tent on an Indian reservation. And he's up there, and he said one evening or one afternoon, a man comes to him and said, I got somebody that wants to talk to you. So Brother Sammons said, okay. And they went and they talked. And this man was beginning to want to seek God. And he wanted some instruction and he wanted some help. And so Brother Mark got in there and started working with him. And then they got to the place they started praying. And this guy got to repenting and begging and pleading, seeking God. I'm going to tell you, it pays to seek God, folks. Sometimes we think, well, devil say, well, it don't pay. Doesn't matter. It does matter. Seek me with all of your heart, the Lord said. I will in no wise cast you out. I want you to come. I want you to beg. I want you to seek. I want you to plead with me. And that man prayed through and got saved. In less than 24 hours, he died and went to heaven. Brother Martin said it was one of the closest situations he ever had of a person praying through and getting saved and then dying and going on to heaven. That would be miraculous, but he made it. He made it, praise God. Listen tonight. You and I know the truth. We've been in this for a number of years, raised in it, so to speak, some of us have. And consequently, we have an inside shot. But listen, this thing is open to everybody. And the will of God is, he that cometh to me, seek me, beg me, plead with thee, I'm not going to cast them out. This plan is for them too, praise God. It's not just the Jews anymore. It's for everybody. Hallelujah. It's for everybody that'll come and beg and plead. It's the will of God that they be saved and go to heaven. Oh, tonight. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. All the things he went through, the rejection of his own people, that would hurt. How many of you has ever had a rejection by somebody? Men, women, family, whatever. There have been people that's gotten quite bitter and angry and upset because of a rejection of somebody or somebody's or company or whatever. They've gone through some real hard time. Jesus, he was rejected by his own people. Those that should have known him, those that should have recognized him, those that should have understood him, got behind him, blessed him, worked with him, and stood by him. They're the ones that crucified him. Oh, today. But it was the will of God for me to work. To work, praise God. From heaven, not to do mine own will. I didn't come here to do mine own will. Lord, help you and I to do his will. Not mine own will. Like I said last night, today I'm like a limp dish rag in his hand. I feel like, Lord, I don't know how many years I got left, but I'm on the latter end of life. Not a young man anymore, Brother Rick. I'm on the latter end, and I want to do his will. What about you? He's the Lord. That my burden in this first part of this message is that you and I need to see how bad Jesus wanted to do the will of God. How he was interested in, so burdened and so concerned. He wanted everything to be exactly the way it should be because he had a short time here. You and I don't know how long we've got here. We may have 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years. We may have it, but we may not have it. We may be gone tomorrow. And you and I doing the will of God will have us in the place where we've done everything that we can do for every soul around us. And that way when we step out of here, they will know there's been a God. They will know there's been a Savior. They will know there's a plan of salvation, praise God. Oh, today. He said, I didn't come to do mine own will, but the will of him. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want the will of God tonight. That's what I'm interested in more than anything else, is the will of God being done, whereby what little time I've got left will be profitable. He done more in a short time than anybody and probably everybody combined. He accomplished more. And you know why? Because of this right here. I had not my will, but thine be done. He worked with the Father. So close. Worked with the Father hand in hand. And so consequently, let's go to 5:30. 5:30 here. He said, I can mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And then 5:17. This scripture got to me by Brother Sammons himself. He was teaching some of us young ministers one time, two or three of us, wasn't a bunch of us there. And he said, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto I work. Listen, folks, you and I need to be so in tune with God, because like I said, His will is working. He's working out there. He's working with souls. He's working with people. And so consequently, if you and I are in tune with Him, connected, not my will, but thine, Father, be done. That's what Jesus was doing. He was working so that no matter where He went or what He did, He could touch souls. The Father's working over here. The Father worketh, hitherto I work. Listen, folks, if God don't do anything, you and I are fruitless. We don't have big this and big that, but we got the Holy Spirit, and that's more than all of it. And so consequently, when He's working, we need to be right there. Brother Sammons had a tent meeting in West Virginia years ago. This tent meeting was, and I think he told this right when he gave us this scripture, when he was talking and dealing with two or three of us, four of us, whatever it was. He made this statement. He said, the Father was working at that time. He said, I've never seen God work any more in West Virginia than I was right then. He said people were getting saved. People were being blessed. People were being baptized and sanctified and healed. He said all of it was happening. He said, and I was bumping right up next to Monarch. And he said, I thought I had to go to Monarch. So I shut the tent meeting down, packed it up, and I went to Monarch. He said, I never had a tent meeting like that. He said, I should have never done it. The Father worketh. The Father's working, see? Listen, say, the Lord is working. You don't know all where the Lord's working, and that's why we need to know exactly, be in tune with Him, exactly how Jesus was to accomplish what needs to be, because He's working. And we need to be in tune where we can work with the Father. The Father worketh, hitherto I work. Oh, today, we can accomplish some things. We can see some people saved and brought in and blessed and so forth. If we're working with the Father, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for God. I didn't come up here just because I wanted to take a vacation. I'm liking it up here. Brother John, you all's doing great. I can't ask for any better. You got Southern hospitality in the North. One of the rudest men I've ever bumped into was in Detroit, Michigan a number of years ago, about 1984. Rebecca Ann and I stopped in a welcome center. And there's the guy behind the counter, and I've never been treated so rudely, coldly. And we walked out there and said, well, if it'd be up to him, we'd never come back to this area. Matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever been back. It ain't been on purpose, but think about it. I don't know if I've ever been back there. But anyway, the bottom line was, you all are doing great, but I'm here for one reason. I have a burden, and I believe the Lord wanted me to come to Springfield, Ohio. That's why I'm here. I don't go on these trips for vacation. I go to work for God. Jesus come down here. He knew His end was death. He knew there was going to be pain and suffering. He knew He was going to be rejected. But there was one thing in mind. He was looking down through the annals of time of the plan of salvation for you and I, and the glory and the blessing, praise God, that He was going to bring by His plan to you and I. And He stuck in there, and He worked right hand in hand with the Father to do something that nobody else had done. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, tonight. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He didn't want to lose one soul. He didn't want to lose anything. Listen, I don't want to lose anything either. We've seen things happen as we've lived for God. We've seen people that didn't do what they ought to do. It's brought tears. It's brought pain. It's brought anguish. Jesus don't want to see any of that neither. He wants everybody to stay right where they need to be and dig on down and keep going. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh, today. All right, let's go to some more wonderful reading. 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 7th verse. 10 and 7 of Hebrews. I desire your prayers. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the low. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, thank God. This is a little further extension of John that I was just in. But he said in the seventh, said, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. This book prophesies, teaches, lifts up, blesses, does everything that Jesus needs it to do. And now for you and I. To be able to read it, to be able to understand it, to be able to get a hold of it. And he said, to do thy will. And then it said, then said he in the ninth verse, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. They knew the old law wasn't going to do what needed to be done. And so consequently, they wanted something better. So they set in to make the plan. Now, there's been a lot of plans made down through the years. There's been a lot of laws written. There's been a lot of laws broken. There's been a lot of plans changed. There had been things set in place that, oh, this is a good law. This is a good thing. But to come up a few years, they got to change it. They got to make things different. Because it's man's law. This law is eternal. This law goes from A to Z, perfect, year in and year out. It is so perfect because he gave his blood for it, and he set it and he sealed it into place. And you don't have to change it. It'll work for everybody in every country at any time. It's a perfect law. It's a perfect plan. And he done it because of the will of God. He wanted to do the will of God. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Had to get the first out of the way, so to speak, and then establish the second. And then he goes on down in here. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now then, not only is it a perfect plan, but the one that wrote it, helped write it, put it in place and sealed it with his blood, he's sitting there to help us to do what needs to be done. Because he comes in and lives in our hearts and our lives and gives us the power, gives the authority. We get sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I'm here tonight, not because of me. I'm here because of the Holy Ghost. If it hadn't been for him, Brother Larry, I wouldn't have made it. It'd been some times I got real close one time. And Rebecca Ann had one thing she did not want this old fella to do was to give up and go down. And I was very close. I was very discouraged. I was very low. And I don't remember what happened, but somehow that day I made a turn. And I kept it going. And I've never quit. And thank the Lord, I'm glad I didn't quit. Because remember, if you've got it and you give it up and you walk away, there's no guarantee you can ever get it back. Now it does happen. It can be years. It might be months, but it could be never. And I did not want to be lost. I still don't want to be lost. I want the Lord to help me to make heaven. And there he sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. One of my favorite scriptures is, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in every time of need. He's right there. He's got grace. He's got power. He's got healing. He's got forgiveness. He's got everything you and I need right there at the throne of grace, the throne of power, the throne of glory. And it's there for you and I. And he done it because by the will of God. And he's sitting there. He's saying, I'm here, children. Come on. We can come, like I finished up last night, with full assurance of heart. Because we're his children. We're not coming boldly to the throne of grace because I think I'm somebody. I slither up there, so to speak. But I've got a heart of assurance, knowing that I'm his child and he's there for me. He wants to help me. He wants to bless me. I love you, child. I am a child of God. Saints, does that really soak in? I've heard people say they had a hard time believing God loved them. They, one of them's in heaven today. Another's a person I know is in another state. But I'm thinking of two of them right on top of them. But they had a hard time grasping it. Listen today, he died for you. He told me, he said, I died for you, child. I died for you. He died for every one of us individually that we can be saved and make heaven our home, praise God. He done that. And he done it because he loved us. And he done it because he wanted the will of God to be done on earth, whereby the plan could be set and established with power and glory that everybody could go to heaven. Oh, tonight, thank the Lord for this great plan. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. It was so perfect. His sacrifice was so perfect. Under the old law, when he brought a sacrifice, it had to be perfect. This was perfect and perfect, praise God. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in him vow. He was so perfect that when he brought it and set it in a plate, and it was all finished and done, there was no way anybody could gainsay it or come against it. It was a perfect offering. And the Father accepted it, and I'm accepting it. What about you tonight? Are you accepting the offering tonight that he made for you and I? Oh, the offering that puts in place. He said there, and I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's all because of that offering. But he has got the power to write those laws. He's got the power to live in our lives. He's got the power. Had a man that I worked for, and we were partners after a while, and he told me, he said, Carl, if I was to try to live the life that you live, I'd have to live out on 800 acres in the middle of it where nobody could get to me. I thought, Danny, I didn't tell him this, I thought, Danny, the one that's going to give you the most trouble can get right out there all by himself and walk up and go, boom, the devil. He'd go, hurry, and roar a little bit, and howl, and whatever he needed to do. I thought, getting out in the middle of 800 acres, or in the middle of New York City, I don't care, he'd let me live for Jesus, praise God. Been able to do it by his grace. All right, let's go to Matthew 26. Time is getting away. The faster I preach sometime, the faster that clock seems to go. Matthew 26 and 37. Now this is repeating some of the very first scriptures I read, just in a different place. Well, 36. 26, 36 of Matthew. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples, he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again. He went away again. The second time, and he prayed saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went again and he prayed the third time saying the same words. Now, nevertheless, not as I will, he looked in that cup. Have you ever looked in that cup? Have you ever looked in that cup and see what's in there? Every time you look in it, it would be different. I was praying hard for Rebecca to be healed. I talked to Brother Ed to know the will of God concerning her life. Brother Ed said, Sir, brother, you know who's got to get this. I said, yes. He said, it's got to be you. He gave me instances of people he knew that had prayed through, and the Lord showed him he's going to heal or take their companion. I was begging him that day. And when I got through praying, he spoke very clear to me. He said, what if I want to take her? I was silent. I couldn't even respond. I couldn't say anything for a few moments. And you know what I said? Lord, thy will be done. She's yours. She was yours before I had her. You give her to me. If you want to take her, you may have her. Sometime after that, I don't remember how long, but I had a type of vision, I guess you would call it, when I was working with her and praying for her one time, and I saw in the cup of grief, of agony, of pain, of suffering. And I looked down in that cup, and what I did was reel back. I could see the agony. Jesus saw the agony, folks. He saw the pain. He knew what he was going to suffer. He knew it better than I did. He knew the torment. He knew the things that were going to do to him. He knew what he was facing. He knew it full steam ahead, so to speak. Not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, Father, not my will. I still stuck with what I told him that day. I didn't try to back up on it. Lord, she's yours. He took her. It's been tough. It's the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life, is losing Rebecca and living the life that I'm having lived by myself. The only thing that's a great blessing is the Church of God. Yes. You all have been a blessing in many, many, many ways. The ministers, the saints have stood by me, supported me, helped me, and right here in this congregation, they have done it. And I appreciate that. Jesus was all by himself. His own disciples forsook him, so to speak. He was standing there, and at one point, he felt like the Father even forsook him. Saints, do you know the pain and the anguish? But Jesus would not quit. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because he was looking. Let's get that in Hebrews. Thought about that a while ago. It says in Hebrews 12. Yeah, 12 and 2 of Hebrews. It said here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He said, who for the joy that was set before him. In all of this agony, he looked down through the annals of time and he saw what this was going to do. And he did not back up. He looked in the cup. He saw the pain. He saw the anguish. He knew what was out there, but he wouldn't quit. Not my will. He had to consecrate. He had to go through that. His flesh backed up on him somewhat. He was crying. The pain, the agony, his sweat, his great drops of blood. And he was sitting there pleading with God. But when it come down to the whole thing, when he looked it square in the face, he said, not my will, but thine. Father, we put this in place. I'm going to go through with it. I'm going to die. Saints, we're going to get to the place right where Jesus was. We'll have our gardens of Gethsemane. And probably the very end of our life could be a great garden. Could be great pain. Could be great suffering. The bottom line is it won't be easy. But still we've got to be at the place where not my will, but thine be done. He done it for you and I. Not my will. I don't want mine, Father. He could have had legions of angels to come and rescue him. And an angel did come and help him there. But he still could have had multitudes of them come down and deliver him. There ain't no whole nation could stand against what he had waiting. But no, not my will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for not doing what you could have done. Thank you for staying in there. Listen, saints, tonight, there is people depending on you and I's salvation. There's people that say, I want you to go on. I don't want you to backslide. Well, I've talked to people about people that have gone down and given up and so forth. It's painful every time. It'd be painful if we went down and somebody's watching us. Well, I ain't nobody. You're somebody and somebody. Yes. I ain't nobody either. But we're somebody to somebody, and it'd be painful. Listen, folks, if he hadn't have done what he done, the whole thing would have been lost. Somebody said, well, I'm not Christ. No, but there's children, there's grandchildren right now. I've been blessed with a granddaughter, and one of the things I want to do is I want to get her to the saints. I want them to see. I want her to see them. Not them so much see them see her. But I want her to see this is the body that I've given my life for. This is what your grandfather does right here. She might laugh at me and pick on me, but I don't care. I want her to see the saints of God. This is the people that I believe has got the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and they're going to heaven. I want her to see that. If I go down, that would all probably be lost unless Cynthia Ann or Donna would get saved. I want my girls saved too. Now don't get me wrong. I want them saved. I'm praying for them. But I'm looking down a little further. Listen, folks, this ain't just about right here. This goes for years. There is people that we can be connected with down through the line that we'll see and that we'll meet that we can have an influence on that if we went down would be lost. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, help us. He didn't quit, saints. He didn't quit. But he saw, he looked, and he was determined. And he stood by right to the end, praise God. And he said, I'm going on anyhow. Because I see the joy of the glory that's there for my people, my children. Oh, what I'm going to do for them to finish this thing up, praise God. And he wouldn't quit. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Not my will. Not my will. He could have quit, but he didn't do it. He stayed right in there. All right, Galatians 1. Galatians 1:1. And then I'll probably quit. Well, let's just go 1 and 4. Well, I don't know. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who hath raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That pretty well says it all right there. Oh, tonight, the will of God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. Oh, saints, children, it's wonderful tonight because he didn't quit. Because he said, nevertheless, not my will. We've got a will. God will honor our wills if we set our feet down like an old donkey and dig in. We can have our way, but we can go to hell too. Jesus wanted to finish, establish, and settle a plan for you and I, and he did it. Lord, help us to hook in with him and I'll go right with him to keep that plan going and the blessings flowing. Pray for me. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers tonight.